Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creators, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. Right, I'm calling it right now, Lesbian Space Princess is the film of the year. I saw it in a sold-out auditorium at the beautiful Art Deco Piccadilly Cinema in Adelaide with the Adelaide Film Festival audience that lapped up every laugh, every tear, and every splash of neon-bright queer celebration on screen in 2024. I loved it, and I still love it. I think it is just a phenomenal film. It is the animated feature debut of filmmakers Leela Varghese and Emma Hoff Hobbs, a collaborative force to be reckoned with, set to change the Australian film industry one bubblegum-flavoured cell at a time. The film follows Syra, voiced brilliantly by the superb Shabana Aziz, the titular space lesbian space princess who finds herself having to leave her shelter planet in the wide galaxy to save her punk rock ex-girlfriend Kiki, voiced by Bernie Van Teel, after she is kidnapped by the straight white Malians, voiced by the Auntie Donna crew. Syra pilots a ship, voiced by the joyous deadpan delivery of Richard Roxburgh, who also at the Adelaide Film Festival had the film The Correspondent screen, and alongside this film completes his 1-2 punch of career best performances. Anyway, Syra encounters the delightful Willow, a scene-stealing Gemma Chertran, and the two head off into the galaxy to save Kiki. It is absolutely a delight, and that plot synopsis barely scratches the surface of what's going on in one of the sharpest, funniest, queerest films to be produced in Australia. There is an Australian film industry before Lesbian Space Princess, and there is an Australian film industry after Lesbian Space Princess. And I cannot wait to see what the work this film inspires people to create comes about. I'm still giddy from the 10-minute standing ovation that took place on the opening night. And look, if anybody knows us Aussies, we're not partial to standing ovations, let alone standing for anything, unless it's a cue. So to know that we stood, clapped, cheered, and heaped deserving praise on this debut film is a strong enough statement as it is. And that's the kind of energy that I'm putting forward that lingers in the following interview with Leela, Emma and Shabana, who joined us after a day of shooting her HBO series The Pit and after her film Bird Eater took home Best Indie Film at the Actors. In this discussion, we talk about the origins of Lesbian Space Princess, what it means to create a narrative that everyone can relate to, and the varied emotionality of the film, and a lot more. We close the chat with Emma telling us the impact of the film on relationships. Well, one relationship in particular. This interview was recorded ahead of Lesbian Space Princess's world debut at the Berlinale Film Festival, where it is in competition for the Panorama Audience Award and the Teddy Award for LGBTQIA films. The version that screamed at LA Film Festival was a work in progress print, and Lesbian Space Princess was recently awarded the full $10,000 from the Queer Screen Completion Fund. And the Completion Fund is a fund that where recipients of the award are determined by an independent jury. To find out more about that particular award and what the recipients had to say about receiving it, click the link in the show notes. Just a forewarning for followers of The Curb, this following chat is the first piece of many that will be run throughout this year to celebrate the year that is the Lesbian Space Princess. I know it's only February, I'm recording this introduction on the 19th of February, but I'm not going to be able to stop praising this film, I'm not going to be able to stop championing it, because I think that it is one of the most vital and energetic and exciting and delightful films that I've seen come out of Australia in, well, forever. And one of the things that which I find really interesting is that we often talk about the need for comedies in today's day and age and how few comedies there are made in Australian cinema. And that's absolutely one of the things why Lesbian Space Princess is so good, is because it's such a rich, rich, varied, delightful, enjoyable comedy. I've only gotten to see it once. I'm really, really itching to see it a second time. But I know that there were jokes that I missed on that first night because people were laughing so darn hard. And that's something that Emma will talk on a bit later on in this particular interview. I hope that you enjoyed this chat, and I hope that you're able to kind of mark this film in your calendars and keep an eye out for. It's been picked up by Umbrella Entertainment, so make sure to keep an eye on their socials and their website for future screening details. And look, if you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, then please head over to thecurb.com.au. We are a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and you have the means to support us, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to support our work from as little as $1 a month. Enough of my chatter and monologuing. Here is my interview with Leela, Emma and Shabana.
Kiki the
Destroyer.
For all your bounty hunting needs. Couldn't you just watch me, like, all day? Fuck, I'm good. Yeah, no, this is my room.
Take them! Not me! On the floor!
No. Please! I'm too hot to die!
Let's kind of start talking about Lesbian Space Princess then. How did the journey for it start for you all?
Yeah, well, it's obviously, it was part of the Film Lab New Voices initiative. And so, you know, the film would not exist without it because honestly, that's sort of what spurred us on to like go for, like to make a movie.
Yeah, so it's the South Australian Film Corporation brought it back. It's the same initiative, or it's a version of the same initiative that 52 Tuesdays came out of. So it's all about low-budget feature filmmaking for debut directors who aren't, in this iteration, who aren't represented largely. So it's called New Voices. And so I was kind of thinking of applying with a few other people. And I mentioned that to Leela and she got a little bit annoyed with me because she was like, well, we're together. Why aren't we putting something?
I know. I was like, even when I have a girlfriend, it's like all these people trying to steal like, and I think it was like maybe some guy directors you were thinking of working with. And I was like, oh, all these, they're stealing my girl.
And so I was like, well, I don't see you pitching anything. And I stormed off and had a shower. And when I was fuming, well, I wasn't fuming, but I was thinking in the shower and it just came like, oh, Lesbian Space Princess. And I was like, oh, I got it. And then I ran out like dripping and I was just like, Lesbian Space Princess, it's camp. It's camp. It's going to be camp. It's going to be so camp.
And I was just like, I was very unconvinced in that moment because I was like, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. And then it kind of just, it's that title that it just kind of, it grabs you and it kind of stuck with me. And I was like, you know what though, maybe if we can find a story, it was very much a title first. There was no story centered around the title at all. And then it was sort of like, if we can find a story that I think still, you know, is a comedy and has a lot of, but has like a lot of heart and like still personal meaning to the two of us, then I think we should go with that title and just make a movie that we're still really proud of. Like, let it have a ridiculous title, but still make sure that it's like a movie that is saying something and has its place, and it's not just a complete joke either.
You said I'm on board if we can bring the heart to it.
Yeah.
Shabana, when you first heard the title Lesbian Space Princess, I imagine you probably didn't know what the plot would be either. What was your own immediate reaction?
Immediate delight. It's such a good title. And Emma's a good title machine. But yeah, I mean, I heard about it ages before, but then I auditioned, like when actually production came around, I auditioned like everybody else. And but I knew about it since forever because I've worked with them. Leela and Emma like were some of the first directors I've ever worked with. So, and it's Adelaide, baby, you know.
Also Shabana was part of like just before we'd even ever gotten production funding. We had like just a table read to figure out if we thought the script was working, and Shabana was like playing the same role in that table read, as well. So you were kind of there in like actually the script development stage as well, getting to come along and just, you got to experience the script in a room with like a group of other people for the first time too.
Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, God, I hope I don't have to play this one. This one's really hard.
This character.
Willow, please give me Willow. Like, please.
And
they
wouldn't. And Shab actually did audition for Willow as well.
It's so bad.
I mean, you've got a lot of like there's a lot riding on your shoulders to carry the film as the lead character, because I mean, I know that Leela and Emma, you both talked about the lightness of Willow as a character and everybody loves her, but in particular, I guess, you know, having a lead character that has to be straight in a way, not straight, obviously, it's lesbian. Jeez, yeah. Slip of the tongue here, but you know what I mean. Like, it's got to be not the comedic person, but kind of the character that people bounce off. So what was that like, knowing that you had to then kind of be that kind of level-headed person?
Well, it's a crazy, I feel like I play the straight man a lot, but never in a vacuum of a quiet room where I'm imagining Richard Roxburgh responding to me. So it was very fully in Leela and Emma's hands, because I would go, is like, you just don't know how somebody can play off you. And especially for the straight man, so much of that timing is about reaction. And like, you just don't have that in the booth. That's manufactured by them completely, like 100%. Do you know what I mean? There's no timing, performance, chemistry, collaboration. And like Leela and Emma talk about that really eloquently. But it was my first time doing animation in that way. So it was fully, it was on them, baby.
No, but also you're not giving yourself credit, because there were so many nuances that make Cyrus so lovable in ways that, you know, a typical straight person character wouldn't be. Like the discovery of the House Bunny voice, like I didn't ever seen House Bunny until after we recorded, but I was like, that is funny.
And also we loved bringing like Shabana's like laugh into the movie as well. Like I feel like every movie I ever make, you always somehow have that like that iconic laugh. I think it's even in the pit. Like it was in the pit. There was a scene in the pit when the scene when the nurse makes the joke. I think it's like episode two. And, like,
yeah.
And it's just like an iconic laugh that's like, but yeah, when because Sarah's a complicated character, so it was an interesting one, because we, you know, you had to play around and we all had to play around to go like, what can we bring that's also not on the page necessarily and add more to her character. And but yeah, we always say that was the hardest character in the whole movie, because in some ways it was a dramatic performance as well. You know, it was a comedy film, but there was a lot of dramatic performance in Cyrus' character.
Mm. I was just going to say that the balancing all the different layers of stuff at play, and that she has a lot of power in society, but also no power in society. And she has a lot of like strength, but also no strength. And a lot of like, you know, like she's fully like the duality of man exists within her. Every duality of man exists within her. And so it's like finding a way not to flip flop between those things, but to hold all of it at once. And like finding a tone of voice that really worked for that was like big, lots of play.
Yeah. I think also like when we were casting it, it was like Shab was the only person we felt actually captured a character that you could relate to their anxiety and feel and really believe it. I think a lot of the time, like people were playing like almost like a caricature of anxiety, whereas like the way that you've captured Syrah feels like, and we knew from the get-go that if people don't buy that storyline, the movie will mean nothing, because you have to believe that she struggles. You have to believe that she's someone who doesn't like herself, that she struggles, that she has anxiety. And if that feels like someone pretending to struggle, then that's like never going to work for what we were trying to achieve.
That's what really, really, really kind of resonates a lot with the emotional resonance, I guess, for the film for me, was that it's really funny, like really, really funny. But then the tears are genuine, like your tears of laughter, but then there are tears of like sadness, and you're really moved by the characters, and you flip that on a dime like so quickly, like just being able to go from laughing and crying and then crying. I was just in awe of that in itself. And that comes down to the animation, the story, but also the voice work. Can you talk about the importance of being able to have that flexibility with the emotions on screen?
Yeah. I mean, so I guess I'm trying to figure out what exactly do you mean in the importance of the flexibility, like the balance of laughter and emotion?
Yeah, probably balance is a better word than flexibility, yeah.
It's so lovely that you're saying the film makes you cry, because I think we always say it's like a film that I think you feel a catharsis that isn't necessarily crying, but like you feel feelings. And my dream is to make a movie that makes people sob. I'm so excited to make a feature film that like really hits in that way. But you know, movies, comedies, it's really tricky with comedies to like go from like sad to happy. And I do think that this movie keeps quite a light tone a lot of the way through, and even like some of the more darker moments, there's still like a lightness to them, but that balance is in every comedy is obviously so important. A comedy with like no heart doesn't hit in the same way, and a drama with no comedy doesn't hit in the same way. So I mean, in everything you ever make, whether it's a comedy or a drama, it's so important to have both the light and the dark, and in a way that's appropriate for your story, you know, that is the tone of your story. I don't know, does anyone else have any?
I'm always talking about the light and the dark.
I feel like Emma's animation too is like, for me, I remember seeing Siren cry for the first time and being like, oh, like that's what we're doing. Like, because there's something about her animation that like, she has so much emotional intelligence in the animation of like, they're like, when she, that first time I see her cry, she's so adorable and so charming, and I get sucked in, and then I'm like, oh my god, we're in New Moon, we're in Twilight New Moon, like this is awful, like I wish I hadn't empathized, I wish I hadn't been sucked in by that, I wish I hadn't liked it, because then I wouldn't be so invested. And like the animation for me is like really does that, because they're, it's like Emma's playing with you, like master manipulator going, look how cute, never mind, like it's really delightful.
I can't take credit for all of the animation. That was Alice and Cheyenne are fantastic full-time animators. They were on the ground following Leela and Art my brief. And, you know, it was like we were really pushing that whole scene, like the first couple of scenes before New Moon. We were like crying, not crying. You know, there was this whole continuity sheet about tears or no tears and what kind of tears. There was a lot of conversations about that, but then also it was interesting because we had to defend.
Yeah, like I was gonna say something really interesting is that one of like the big notes that came back like before the movie had gone out to an audience was that like the main character cried too much, and that they thought, and it was thought that that was a problem. And it's interesting because I spoke to a person that I collaborate quite a lot with who was an editor, Pip Hart, and she was like saying, I told her that, you know, what do you think about this note? Like there's this note about the crying, and she said this beautiful thing to me where she said, no, I love that she cries because she cries, but she keeps pushing herself forward. I love that she cries, but she still does the things. And she's like, because that's me. And she's like, also Leela, that's you. Also like, she, you know, and also Emma, that's you. And it's also Shabana. Like, it's like this note of saying like, don't cry, but it's like, you know, like women cry a lot, but women also like, it's that classic thing. Like there's even the scene in the movie where I remember we told Zach to say, these are angry tears, because that's what happens to me in like a workplace or something. I'll start crying, but I'm angry. Like, you know, like it's like I'm angry. I'm not sad. I cry while the things are happening. So like, yeah, it's been really fun that people have like, because at one point we were even like, should we try to cut like heaps of the crying out of the opening of the movie?
I was always like, we can't go back. That's not the film. We can't go back and
repeat. Yeah.
It. I'm sorry.
But it's interesting because, you know, I think a lot of people have resonated with Syra's struggle and anxiety and like her, like, you know, even the fact that it's just so on her sleeve, the way that she's very much someone who doesn't really hide her emotions very well.
I mean, that's it. Like my partner and I, after watching it, were like the space and clarity, obviously, the film is not all about crying, right? But with that said, like We had a whole conversation. We've had so many conversations about this film. And one of the conversations we had was about how we do cry almost on a daily basis. We are very emotional people, but crying is not always about being sad. Like, it's angry tears, it's happy tears, all these different kinds of things. And so, like, having that validated on screen in that way was, like, just one of the small things about this film that is so validating in all these different ways. And that's why I think it's such a brilliant film, because, yeah, right, as a guy, I'm able to feel validated because I'm crying, right? That's brilliant. But then there's a whole bunch of other stuff which, you know, opens a whole bunch of different discussions. What does it mean to then to be able to kind of create something that has the space to validate all kinds of different emotions, queer voices, all those kinds of things? Like, that seems to be the validation seems to be one of the foundational elements of this particular film and your creative work as a whole. Is that something you're consciously thinking about? Is it something that you're going, yes, when we're starting out a project, this is what we're going to do, validate people's existence, make it, you know, give space to it, I guess is the best way of putting it.
Yeah, it was a big part of, like, pitching the film from the very start was, like, there's not a lot of, like, animated kind of comedy content for people like us in so many different ways. So, I mean, I know it was a big thing for, like, Leela and to put different, like, Australian comedians that aren't often highlighted. And, you know, for me, it was also about, like, you know, the existence of, like, queer female nerds growing up. And, you know, I wish, you know, I think it's a film that we both would have been so impacted by as teenagers, you know?
Yeah, like, I guess it was, like, a craving to tell, to see a story like that. And then it's, like, we sort of just went, oh, we're just going to, we'll make it. We'll make that story. But in saying that, like, you know, it's not this, like, I guess we were sort of touching on this in the previous interview. It's, like, it's also just coming from a place of authenticity. I think, like, it's also just a desire to tell a story that we want to tell. Like, yes, there is all that other stuff, and it is so amazing to, like, have that representation for all the audience. But I think a lot of filmmaking is, like, you tell a story that means something to you and that you crave to see. And then, you know, it's a beautiful thing to know that there are so many people out there who feel seen by that story. And we were conscious of that. But I think, you know, at the heart of every filmmaker's journey is just a story they're craving to tell, like, you know. And I don't know what it's like for acting too, Shab, like, in terms of, like, when you're working with, you've got a character you're putting forward.
I think with lesbian space friends is particularly, like, separate from acting, is this really beautiful thing, like what you're saying about validation, where it's like, I think that you don't have to be a lesbian space princess to feel, see yourself in this film. Like, I think, like watching the Malians cry and then validate each other and themselves, beautiful. Like, maybe that's a spoiler, but, like, like, I think that's really, I think people of all, like, creeds are coming to this, when they come to this movie, they're not being alienated, like, comically, even by the aliens. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people can find a version of themselves that they feel really safe with and validated by in this film.
Was that hard to kind of put into the script and to not vilify? I mean, I imagine, like, a lot of people might go into a film like this and go, oh, you're just going to vilify men. And it's like, that's really not what you do at all. Like, everybody, as you're saying, Siobhana, like, there is a space for everybody in this film, right? But
yeah,
in the writing of it, in the directing of it, was hard to kind of find the line that, you know, you weren't going to really not offend people, because I don't think there's anything offensive, but I don't know. Hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say.
No, I get it. I think no, not really, because we don't hate men.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
right.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's not, it's just a bit of fun. The film, it's like, it's, I think a lot of people, that we've seen some very funny reactions to the synopsis of the film, and people being offended by it just from the synopsis. But, you know, if you actually saw the movie, I think it's pretty obvious that, the movie is kind of just celebrate. I mean, this film, another hilarious thing about this movie is that it is produced by a production company run by straight white men. It's produced by a straight white man. We're working with straight white men. Like, we're all in on it together. We're all just making something that is joyful and fun. And it's actually a beautiful thing that you know, like Tom, our producer, and even Jeremy, the other half of We Made a Thing, were so excited to uplift this story and have it made. But like, I just naturally don't seem to ever vilify people too much. It's just not the tone that I live in. I don't know.
No, we weren't. The film is, in general, is not mean-spirited towards anyone, you know, and the Auntie Donna really, like, if there was ever any risk of the Malians seeming like anti-man, they really like just made them so
lovable,
like so charming. And Richard Roxburgh as well just really nailed like the kind of kooky kind of Probo dad grandpa energy with like a lot of like sweetness, you know.
Yeah, and it's like fun because I think it's fun to show like also these, you know, these famous men. There's something so joyful about watching them coming on board and like having fun with a story like this, you know. It's like, and no one is taking themselves too seriously. In fact, it's so funny because we always joke about how all the men in the movie get a happy ending, and actually all the queer women of color get quite a sad ending. Like, not Syrah does, but a lot of the other characters don't actually get like quite a sweet ending. And so if anything, I'm worried that we were going to get in trouble by you know, the community about like all the men getting happy ending. But it's definitely just, I don't really know where I'm going with that, but yeah, it's a funny thing, like that. It's a thing in the story.
Let's talk about Adelaide then, because I mean, that first night, like it was like 10 minute standing ovation. That is unheard of. It was just, and I feel like, I think I mentioned an email, like I feel like I should still be standing up and clapping because it's just that good, right? But then to go on and have like sell out screenings multiple times, and there's somebody on Letterboxd and I can't find them at the moment, but they I think they went to all of the screenings and they're like, this film is my life, this is my identity, this is it. So what does that mean, like, to have that kind of immediate audience reaction right away from your hometown community?
Yeah, I mean,
it was so, like, genuinely unexpected. I was really excited to get, like, feedback. And then, so, you know, we were looking at the letterbox and I was like, oh, it's all, like, very positive. And, like, I was running competitions to give away some of our comp tickets because I was like, oh, they're not going to sell tickets. I just like assumed that it was going to be really hard to get people to go to this film. Mm. But it was just like, yeah, unbelievably impressed.
Yeah, I think the word is shocking. I wouldn't say that there was like us sitting around going like, we're sitting on something that people, we're like, we got something here. Like, I think we were making something and we were like, we like it. And then it was, and, you know, actually, like, our producer Tom and everyone on the team the whole way through and even all the actors, like, you know, were so, like, you know, supportive and, you know, there's been, internally there was a lot of love. But it's like a baby. It's like you're sending your baby off into the world and you're like, oh, I hope they do okay out there. And it's cute to see, like, it's really lovely to have had that response, but it was incredibly shocking. And to be honest, it's still overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming, like, even just having people saying the movie means so much to them, because there is this separation, you know, it's that classic saying where it's like you make a movie and then it's not yours anymore, which is also kind of a beautiful thing. I kind of love that it's those people, it's everyone that has seen the movie, it's now theirs, you know?
Mm. But, I mean, also, like, I'll never forget, and maybe you'll never forget the moment, and you were there, Andrew. I'm sorry that you weren't there, Shabana, but it was, like, in the first, like, 10 seconds of the film or something, there's this, like, joke that's hardly even a joke. Mm. It's, like, I never had girls knocking down my door until you did, and then it's, like, Kiki knocking down the door, and everyone in the cinema laughed, and we were just, like...
That's not... Yeah.
This is not funny.
Yeah, we were like, we're probably not going to get any, like, good big laughs until, like, you know, like, a little way in. And then that happened and we were like, oh.
Oh, we're fine.
It's probably going to be okay. You know, obviously there is, like, such a thing as, like, it's, like, it was interesting because, like, there was that first night and such an electric energy because everyone came out to be supportive and it was kind of cool that the follow-up screenings also helped make sure that that wasn't just, like, a a fluke. But still, you know, we're still terrified to send it out into the bigger world. We don't know how Berlin's going to go. You know, we're just waiting for the letterbox to go from being really nice to being mixed. Like, we'll wait and see. Well,
I mean, that's it. Like, so I guess as we lead into wrapping up, you've got Berlin, then you've got the 10K to wrap it up as well, which is huge. So the ongoing life of the film, international premiere, that kind of stuff. How are you feeling, Shabana? I guess, you know, knowing that you've kind of got this extra life as well with the pit, and this global attention is now on the film in a certain way, which is really exciting. So how are you all feeling as we lead to getting it out into the world in a wider way?
Well, Shabana's never seen it with an audience. So
that's... I've only seen it on my laptop on a screener that there was a deadline on. We watched it. Yeah, I'm very, very excited to see it with people, with an audience, because it's such, I mean, comedy is so important for that. And also, like, I think when you're close to something like this, it's like so exciting to hear someone else's opinions in the audience. And the only film I've seen in the theater that I've done in that way is Bird Eater, which is such an audience film. And so I think that I'm realizing maybe all movies you just have to watch in a theater with a crowd to feel the tone of it and the heart of it and like the impact of it as well. So I'm really excited for that.
And, you know, it's actually like we were stalking the cinema where the official world premiere will be, and it's like beautiful. It's like 800 seater or something. And it's, you know, but, you know, we're really excited, but it's going to be like so interesting to just experience it with like the German audience. And to be honest, I'm always going to be nervous. I don't know about Emma can answer for herself, but I'm still always terrified. It's like I treat it like it's a stand-up comedy show. I treat it like, even though it's the exact same thing showing every time, but I always go, it might just go different this time, you know. And it's like, it's, and maybe stand-up has kind of put that into me to never expect the same thing from an audience. And I think I still have so much nerves all the time, but especially at Berlin, because I'm like, oh my gosh, so such a big, big world stage. Like, yeah, I'd be lying if I said I was super confident, which in, you know, the spirit of the film, I'll say, you know, I'm pretty anxious about it. I don't know.
Well, I used to do a bit of film programming, so I don't know. I hope that the right people find the film, because it is so like ludicrous in its advertising, I guess, that, you know, a lot of films at festivals are quite serious. So the people that go are like kind of looking for something a bit, you know, the light in between the dark. So I'm excited.
And Berlin is such a queer, like a mm-hmm. festival that has such a celebration of queer voices and animation. And so like, it feels like, you know, we just feel incredibly blessed that they've seen something in the film and they want to champion it. And, you know, so far, it's like the whole team seems so lovely. We're just excited to get to go meet everyone and, try to not sound terrible at trying to speak German.
I don't think you'll say anything offensive at all, even though, you know, I've tried to speak German and it often sounds like it. You will have a great time. It is seriously like, and I don't say this lightly, but it is honestly one of the best Australian films I've ever seen. And it's just like phenomenal. Like, I'm still, I just in awe of what you've created. I'm excited to see what you all do going forward. I'm excited to see the short that you've made as well, Leela and Shabana. I know that is a whole discussion in itself, so I'm excited about that. You're all just supreme talent. Like, you've got so much, like, the future of Australian film is changing, and I look at a film like Lesbian Space Princess, and I'm like, yes, we need more of this. And we need more animation, for starters, but we need more of this. So, yeah, it's thrilling. It's exciting. So much to be proud of. Like, I can't wait to support this film as it continues going, like, in whatever way possible. But it's been a delight to talk with you all. Shabana, thank you again so much for being up late. You know,
letting me look. Thank you so much.
enjoy Berlin.
And thank you so much. And also thank you so much for being like so supportive and for coming to the film in the first place and for all the kind words. Like, it really does mean so much.
Look, I mean, When I got asked to, because I got asked to come over to Adelaide last year, and I was like, yes. And then I had a look at the lineup, and literally the first film, I'm like, well, if I only see one film there, it has to be Lesbian Space Princess, because that title, like you've already talked about it, like that title in itself is just like far out. Like how can, who would look at a program and go, oh, I don't want to see that. Like, geez, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
I had to tell you one hilarious story. The best thing that happened out of AF was that Emma met someone at a party who said that they were dating their partner at the time, and they were going through the AF program, and their boyfriend at the time saw the Lesbian Space Princess in the program and said, Lesbian Space Princess, who would want to see that? And she said she knew that was the moment she decided that she was going to end that relationship.
Thanks again for listening to this chat with Leela Varghese, Emma Hoff-Hobbs and Siobhan Ozees about their wickedly great film, Lesbian Space Princess. The film has again been picked up for distribution by Umbrella Entertainment, so keep an eye out for future release details. And for everything related to The Curb, visit thecurb.com.au. I'll see you in the next one.